Perik Lamed and Mishle, this should be the end over here. We have Divri Agur ben Yoke, Hamasa, Numa Gever Le'isiel, Ve'uchol. Okay, these are the words of Agur ben Yoke. We've already said that Masha Mishle is comprised of eight different parts. We went through a bunch of them already, right? And we said that we already went through like all the little things here and there. This is sort of like Perik Lamed and Perik Lamed Aleph are two sort of like letters, like igros, that were written by Shlomo Melech in some way, shape, or form. Now, some say that Agur ben Yoke was one of his Talmidim, maybe an associate of Shlomo Melech. Some say it was one of his teachers, and he added on over here. But it's likely that it's just a pseudonym for Shlomo Melech himself. Like we've seen throughout Divrei Yamin, the names that are given over here are not really meant to be for those people themselves, referring to somebody else. Agur and Yoke come from the word assembly. Agur as in, you know, to be... And aguda is, I guess, the closely related word over there. And yoke comes to the word kihila. That is a collection of men altogether. Hamasa is referring to the heavy bit of learning that they did together. He put together a heavy bit of learning, and he said this over to Isiel, and Uchal. So it seems that Isiel was more chashuv than Uchal. They had both sent him a letter, Isiel and Uchal. They wrote this letter to Shlomo Melech asking him to try to figure out what they can get and, like, you know, wisdoms that they could figure out and whatever it is. And he saw how great Isiel was, and therefore he mentions his name twice. So Isiel, also Isiel the Uchal, right, all the way over there. But others say that this is just another reference to Shlomo Melech himself, E.T. Kel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been with me, and that's why I was able to become wise. And Uchal, I've been able to do everything that I've wanted to do. Okay, Kivaro Nochem Iish, V'lovinas Adam Li. He starts off the letter and he says, listen, I am an idiot, less than man, so to speak, right? V'lovinas Adam Li, I have no understanding of a man himself. I'm less than a man. I'm not as great as a person like Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the Moshe Iish Elokim. I'm not like that. I have no bina of Adam Rishon. I'm not as great as either one of these people over here. I relied on my wisdom over here. I didn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word that many wives and having a lot of horses and all those other things are, you know, are going to lead a person to do an Avera. I didn't listen to that. I should have listened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I should have realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was right, and I didn't do so. And that's my own fault. And for that reason, I'm more of a fool than them. Oh, I just forgot something. Hold on. Getting
call. Eddie. Oh.
Edward Sandler. Here we go. Okay. Let's see what we can do over here. So we have. Just make sure. Does this pause? Hi, Eddie. You there? Good. Perfect. Perfect. I just put it on speaker. Okay. Here we go. And now it says, I have not learned wisdom, nor do I have the possession of this wisdom that I really need to have. The problem with Shlomo Melech and what he said was, is that I never relied on other people to become the great man that I became. I relied on my own intelligence. I thought that I could fathom everything by myself. What's up, Harry? Eitan, how are you? Right? I thought that I could understand everything myself, but he says, I'm missing something. Here's the biggest problem when trying to get into things like Kabbalah. When you're trying to get into this stuff, you're missing like an introduction. There's something missing. You need to get there by starting off and like walking yourself into something. And sometimes it's just a little bit too deep and you're missing something. You don't even know what you're missing. That's what a hakdama does. A hakdama leads you into the proper way of getting through there. And he says, I didn't learn the chachma properly. The das kedoshim eda, in which I should know the das of the kedoshim itself. Who's ascended to the heavens and come down? Who's gathered the wind in his fist? Who's been able to wrap the water in his garments? Who's been able to establish the ends of the earth? What's his name? What's his son's name? What would be over here? Now, if you look over here, the numbers that he has, it says clearly there's Ruach, right? There's Mayim, there's Eretz. The only thing that's missing really is Eish. Maybe that's what he means by Shamayim, as in the fires up there. Who can explain why fire rises to the sky? That's what he means by Shamayim itself. Who can explain why water is not congealed into a substance? Who can explain why air is not solid? Who can explain why the earth does not move about naturally but stays stationary? We don't understand this stuff. We just take it as givens. There's a given. Earth stays as is. That you cannot see air. That water is able to stay the way it is. But we don't understand the whys behind it. We don't get the why this happens over here more than anything else. And therefore he says, I'm missing something. It's like I'm missing something huge beyond the world that I'm never going to understand. Every word of God is absolutely pure. He's a shield to anyone who takes refuge in him. If you look at a Kaddish Baruch, you look at the Torah itself, then it's pure. You'll be able to understand things from that. You'll have limitations because there are certain things that are never understood, but at least you can start. Don't add on to his words, because then it's going to be bad for you and you'll be proven to be a liar over here. It's normal. When you have silver itself, adding anything onto silver, something of your own, is not going to improve the silver. The silver is awesome in and of itself. Adding something on is just the wrong thing over here. Shlomo Melech tried to judge witnesses without hearing any Edom. He just wanted to look at them and be like, you're innocent, you're guilty. Right? That's what he wanted to do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's too much. That's not what we do. We don't do stuff like that. We shouldn't get involved in stuff like that. And that was something that he was wrong on over here. There's a mushel over here. A man with a huge appetite fell ill, and the doctor told him, you have to take a medication, but you have to take this medication little by little by little. But this glutton, he just took everything, drank it all down at once, and immediately got worse, right? So he went to the doctor the next day. The doctor told him, listen, the reason why I told you that is because your problem is that you eat everything like that, like a crazy glutton. You have to eat it slowly but surely, little by little, and then you're going to be okay. But because you eat this way, that's why I told you specifically, take this medicine little by little. Until you can do that, you'll never be able to be healed. And that's the idea over here. Don't add on to anything and just keep eating it one after the other, so to speak, grabbing it all at once. Pasuk Zayin, Shtayim She'alti Mimach, Alti Mimeni Beter Mamus. Two things I ask from you, do not deny them for me before I die. Here are the two things that I want from you. Here's what I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shav Udvar Chosav Harchi Mimeni. Keep away falsehoods and lies. When people are lying and people are saying falsehoods, keep them away from me. I don't want to be involved with a liar. Reish Va'osher Alti Ten Li. Do not give me poverty, but don't give me the lottery either. Hey, poverty and lottery, that rhymes sort of, right? Don't give me either one. Hatrifeni lechem chuki. Instead, just give me what I'm supposed to have. The little bit of bread that I'm supposed to have, that's all I want over here. Don't give me the test of poverty. Don't give me the test of wealth. I want just enough. So those are the two things that I ask for. Number one, keep me away from liars. Number two, give me what I'm supposed to have. And nothing more, nothing less. I don't want crazy stuff. I don't want to be poor. Pen asva v'chashti, because maybe I'll be too satisfied and I'll deny everything. V'amarti, and I'll say, Mi Hashem, who's God? Pen ivarish, but maybe I'll become poor, v'ganavti, and I'll start stealing. Tafasi shem elohai, and then I'll profane, I'll grab the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it'll be really, really bad.
And that's a bad thing over here. Right?
I'm sorry? Koala said he got way too much. He got way too much, and what ended up happening.
Right, but it was the opposite too. Didn't he get like thrown out and
because
lost
of his
everything.
Tremendous riches. Yeah, I mean, Shlomo Melech went from the ultimate of riches to the ultimate of poor, and he got both. He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to give him either one, and he got both. He got absolutely both. And only afterward did he become, I don't want to say normal, but normal for a king, right? Normal for a king to be able to have. Pasuk Yod, Al Tal Shein Eved Al Adonav. Never speak Lashon Hara about a servant to his master. Peni Kalelcha V'Ashamta. Maybe you'll be cursed by the Eved and you're to blame. What that really means is don't go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask him to execute judgment on somebody who wronged you. That's never going to work, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at you and say, do you deserve to be malshin somebody else? Do you deserve to knock down that guy? I don't know if you deserve that. And therefore, you're the one who's going to get knocked down. Dora Vivi Kalel. There's a generation that curses their father. That's Imam. They don't bless their mother. This is somebody you should stay away from. When you see people that are not willing to bless their fathers and their mothers, that's bad. Dor Torah Be'enav. There's another generation that's pure in their own eyes, but so also lo ruchotz, right? They are never washed from the filth of their hands. But they look at themselves and they say, what do you mean? I'm perfectly fine. I tell people this all the time. People that go to davening don't say a word, but they have their tefillin on. Right? So afterward, they say, what do you mean? I davened. You didn't daven. In a way, you're never washed away from that filth. Dor ma ramu eina v'afal pam yinaseu. Then there's another generation. How lofty are its eyes? Their eyelids are lifted up. They have such gaiva. They can look at anybody and think, I am the greatest person of all time. That's the way they look at themselves. Pasuk Yedalet. Dor charavu shinav. There's another generation where their teeth are like swords. Macholos misaloisav. The jaws are almost like knives. Le'echol ania me'eret v'avyonu me'adam. They want to take away all the poor people, consuming the poor people, destroying them completely. And that's the problem. These could be referring to leaders. It could be referring to regular people that are trying to destroy the poor. These are four people you want to stay as far away from as you possibly can. And now we have more instruction. Luka Shnebanos, Hav Hav. A leech has two daughters. Both of those daughters are named Give Give. That's what they are. They're named give. Give me everything. That's what a leech is like. They want to take everything away from other people. Shloshena los hispana. There are three things that will never be satisfied. Arba lo amru hayim. There are four things that never say enough. Sh'ov otzarecha. Number one, the grave. The grave never has enough and will always want more. No matter how many people die, there will always be people that the grave wants to take more. Barren wombs, unfortunately, is the exact same thing. They will never be able to replenish that which already has perished. The extinction is going to be completely total. And in some way, that's the reason why it says three and then four. Shol and Utzarechem are compared to one another. Eretz lo savamayim, the land will never be satiated with water. It always wants more. The Eish lo amar hayin, and a fire never says enough. The fire keeps going. Fire never stops. It'll just keep going and going and going, and then it won't be able to destroy. And that idea is like destruction never says stop enough. There are some that say that give is referring to hearsay, right? When people want to say, you know, terrible things about God, no one ever has enough bad things to say about God. They'll just keep going and going. Number two, people never tire about talking about the government, right? They just want to talk about the government in any way possible, no matter who's in charge, no matter what's happening. They want to talk about why they think that the government is never doing enough or never doing good things for them, why it's not helping. Those are two things that it refers to by hav when it comes down to it. Chazal say that there's a remez over here in this pasuk to tchiyas ha-mesim. The reason why is because it says the connection between she'ol ve'otzerechem, the grave and otzerechem. It says, uma otzerechem, when it comes to a woman who gives birth, right? When the child is conceived, it's in silence. The child is born with loud noises and cries. When a person dies, he's brought down to the grave in loud noises and cries. When he comes up with Tchias HaMesim, even more so, it's going to be with loud noises and cries. It's going to be a very loud Tchias HaMesim where everybody's going to come forth. It's going to be amidst a lot of voices, a lot of people that are around. And therefore, there's a connection between the two, and that's what we call it over here, that there's going to be something awesome by the time it's Tchias HaMesim. Ayin Tilag La'av, there's an eye that mocks its father, it's a Vuzli Yikasem, and just despises everything that his mother says. Yikrua Orbe Nachal, the ravens of the valley, they try to destroy it. V'yochlua b'nei nashar, the young eagles will try to devour it over here. That's what it means by being cruelty when it comes down to it. There's cruelty when it comes to all these types of things. That's what it says in Pasuk Yitzayin. In Pasuk Yitzchess, there are three things that are too wondrous for me to understand. Four of them, I don't know about them whatsoever. I don't even know what they do. I have no idea how the eagle works in the heavens, how the eagle is able to fly its wings, and what it does. Have you ever watched a hawk or an eagle fly after birds? You kind of wonder, how in the world is it going to catch it? Like peregrine falcons, they just go straight down. Okay, I get that, right? But I watched it the other day. There was a hawk that was outside my window when we were eating lunch on Shabbos day, and it just went after these birds. It was flying so slowly, and it was just chasing the birds around. I guess it waits for the birds to separate or for them to eventually tire out, right? But it says, Derech Nachash Ali, that's one, Derech Nesha B'Shamayim. Derech Nachash Ali Tzur, the way of a rock, a snake that's on top of a rock itself. What it's doing and what it wants there, how it suns and what it needs. Derech Ani Abalev Yam, the way a ship goes in the middle of the sea. Derech Gever Ba'aman, the way of a man together with a young woman and how they go. All these things are things that we just don't understand. There's a lot of things that we don't understand over here. The way that a Nachash and a Nesher are considered Tamei animals, and yet they're things that we've compared ourselves to. A Nachash, technically, if it dies, does not make a person Tamei. But a dead beetle does. A dead porcupine does. But for some reason, a Nachash, when it dies, if you touch the snake after it dies, doesn't make you Tamei. That doesn't make any sense. A Nesher is an animal that we say is absolutely Tamei. But we say, Havi Kal Kanesher. You should be like a Nesher. But why would you want to be that way? There's just things that we call a wonder over here. They're paradoxical things that just don't make any sense whatsoever. That's the idea behind it. Here's another thing that's a little bit hypocritical. You have an adulterous woman who does her adultery. She eats and she wipes her mouth. She eats and then she's done. But Amra lo palti oven, she said, I didn't do anything wrong. You cannot prove, and this is one of the wonders of creation, you'd think that a Kadosh Baruch Hu would make it, that any man that sins or woman that sins against her husband or against his wife, you could immediately see it in the person. Like a sin should show, to show that he had gone against his wife, she had gone against her husband, but it doesn't show. She's able to eat her bread, wipe her mouth, and say, I didn't do anything wrong. And she can get away with it. And that's crazy. And a husband as well. Why is that okay? So Shlomo Melech, that doesn't make any sense to me as well. Pasuk Chaf Al, Tachas Shlosh Rugs Eretz, for three things the earth quakes. Tachas Arba Lotuchas Eis, for four things the earth cannot bear them anymore. Tachas Eved Kim Loch, when a servant becomes king. When a passion for power comes through an Eved and he won't rest until he becomes a king, God cannot handle it. When Hordis and the rest of the Chashmonaim's Eveds, Avadim's kings, when they became kings and they took over the Chashmonai kingdom and they were all slaves, when they took over, you saw they weren't good people. It caused the destruction of the second base of Mikdash. It caused war between them and the Prushim, the Tzadikim at the time. The Novel Ki Yisbalachim, as well as a villain, an evil person when he eats bread. You ever see a person eat bread? Person eat bread when he's just like, doesn't care what other people think of him. He's just got stuff all over him. He drools. He has like stuff all over. Like when a guy eats food and he like doesn't care what anybody sees, that's the way that we look at it. We're like, okay, you don't want to go anywhere near that guy. Tachas Snua Ki Tova'el. We say a despised woman when she gets married. When you see a woman like that getting married, you're like, how in the world did anybody want to marry that woman? And a maidservant, when she becomes an heir to her mistress, when all of a sudden she is brought up to a higher level, if the husband says, I want to marry my shivcha, frees her, and then marries her, there's nothing more evil than this. All of this is referring to evil things that come out. Nothing good comes from any stuff like this. Chazal say this might have been a hint to Alexander. Alexander the Great was born from a woman who apparently had been together with somebody else, not from her father, not from Philip of Macedonia, but from somebody else. They say a couple other things over here. Arbahim Ketani Eretz. There are four things that are small upon the earth, yet they are the wisest of the wise. Who are these four tiny little creatures that can teach you so much? Number one, Hanemalim, Amloaz. Ants are a people that are not very strong. Yet they prepare their food in the summer because they're so smart. They take care of things before and they prepare themselves for what's going to be. Shvanim, Amloatsum, the hyraxes, right, are people that also not a very mighty animal. Yet they make their homes inside the rocks. They take over the mountains. They're the ones who live in the most powerful places on earth. Melech ein lo arba, there is no king to the locusts, and yet they all go out in formation. There's no official king to locusts, but yet they all know exactly where to go, when to go, and what to do. That's what locusts do. Shmamis b'yadayim tzapes, a spider, the most crazy thing in the world. You can seize it with your own hands. You can seize any spider, and yet she is in the king's palaces. Spiders cannot be gotten rid of. Even in the king's ultimate palaces, there's always a spider that's able to get away with it. Aside from that, we always know, right, spiders also have the most powerful webs, that their webs are absolutely the most powerful thing somehow on earth itself. Some say a shmamis refers to a different type of bird. Some say it's a type of monkey, whatever, but they're all around over there. There are three things that are good when they tzo'ad, when they step. The arba mitivi leches, and there are four things that are very good in their stride. They stride ahead. What are these three things or four things that are able to walk clearly and they show their power? Laish, kibur b'behema. The lion is the king of all animals. It does not turn away from anyone. The lion's not afraid of anyone, right? Then it says zarzir masnayim, right? There's also, we don't know exactly what this is, but the zarzir is a type of bird, a friend of the Orev. It's called a starling. Over here, it's apparently referring to a jackal or like a hound, like a domesticated dog. Otayish, or an absolute ram, the absolute ram. And then it says, Umelech Alkum Imo. The king Alkum is the one in charge of that. Now, it seems like each one of these have something that's absolutely special. Alkum could be referred to a creature that no one can stand. Alkum, nobody can stand in front of it. Maybe that's what it refers to over here. Others say it's referring to something else. Each one of these animals has something. The goat that's in charge is a goat that everybody follows. That's the awesomeness about the goat itself. When it comes to the Zarzio Masnaim, it could be referring to a bee, or it could be referring to this greyhound itself. So fast, so mighty, it's able to get around everything, right? Others say, and obviously the lion itself, I don't think we have to talk about over here. Every step they take, they do with intention. They know what they need to do when they go out and do it. And Mevaltu Bisnase, if you've demeaned yourself before, right, raise yourself back up. If you want to do something bad, put your hand to your mouth. Just stop yourself from doing it. Muzzle yourself. That's what you can learn from these animals, to stop yourself from doing stupid things. Because when you churn milk, you come out with butter. Mitzaf yotidam. When it comes to mitzaf, you bring out blood. Mitzaf means whenever you press the nose, you're going to bring forth blood. Mitzapayim yotzi riv. If you press wrath, you're just going to bring about more and more fights. That's what we talk about over here. Sometimes a person has to work on himself because you know, if you start fights, if you start looking at people, you start getting angry at others, nothing good is going to come from that. And that's the real problem when it comes to stuff like this. It's almost like churning milk turns it into butter. But it's worse when you get into other things. Sometimes churning something is not the best thing in the world. Just hold your hand on top of your nose. How long do you think it's going to take until your nose starts bleeding and goes through? All right, that's that. Now we're on Mishlei Perek Lamed Aleph. Divrei Lemuel, Melech Maser Sheisarto Imo. These are the words of the king known as Lemuel. Lemuel means toward God. And it's again a reference to Shlomo HaMelech. Asher Yisarto Imo, that his mother gave him Musar and he accepted it and then praised her for it. If you've never heard of this chapter, you may have seen it before. Like, what does it say? It has the regular, what's it called, right? It's got the Aleph Beis over there. We're in Eshes Chayil territory. So he's going to talk about his mother in that way. But Lemuel, that he cleaved to what he had over here. Now, here's what ended up happening. Shlomo Melech, on the day that he built the Beis HaMikdash, the night before, he married the daughter of Paro. He married that daughter of Paro. The next morning, the daughter of Paro put extra blankets around the windows so you wouldn't see that it had become day. Shlomo Melech overslept the first day of the Beis HaMikdash when they were going to bring the Korbanos, and they didn't want to bring it without Shlomo Melech, and nobody wanted to knock on his door. Almost 3 hours into the day was up, and he still thought it was dark outside, right? Bas Paro did it on purpose, and his mother came striding into the king's room, pulled him by the ear, grabbed him outside and beat him a little bit. At the time, he wasn't that old. He was maybe 17, 18 years old, right? And said it was 100% his fault. That was the muster that he got. And she rebuked him by saying, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Ma bri, what's going on, my son? Ma bar bitni, you're the son of my womb. Ma bar nidoroi, you're the son of my vows. I used to promise God that I was going to make sure that you were going to be a perfect child. And this is what you're doing? You feasted all night, you got drunk, you slept in the next day, on the first day of the Beis HaMikdash? How dare you? That's what Batsheva said, right? That was the musar that she ended up giving him. Al titin lenashim chilecha, do not give your strength to women. In other words, at a time like this, this is not the time when you should have been married to Bas Paro. This is the problem. You gave yourself over to Bas Paro, and look what happened. Udrachecha lamchos melachin. You've done things in your way that have destroyed kings. Now, if you notice, it says melachin and not melachim because you're acting like a female. You're acting somebody who's weak. You've done things that's going to be horrible. You're going to be like one of those kings that nobody ever wants to be like. Al lemelach lemoel. It's not to be like the other kings and well. You shouldn't be like them, and don't say, well, I could be like them. Al malachim so yayin. It's not for kings to drink wine, el rosnim o shechor, and for the princes to say, a shechor, where is the beer? You shouldn't be doing this. There's no reason for you to get drunk. You're a leader now. Leaders don't do that. Leaders are not supposed to get drunk. Pen yishteh, because maybe you will drink. Be yishkak mechukak. You'll forget the laws. Be yishana din ko b'nei oni. And you'll knock down or change the din for anybody who's b'nei oni, anybody who's afflicted. You're going to knock down all of these people over here. Tenu shechor lo oved. Give beer to those people who are lost. The yayin lamare nefesh. You give wine to people who are embittered of the soul, but only to them. Nobody else should get wine or beer. There's no purpose to it. Don't get involved in such stuff like that if you don't have to. Yishtev yishkach risho. He drinks in order to forget his poorness. Vamalolu yiskorod, and that way he doesn't remember his toil. You want to talk about somebody who should get drunk? A guy should get drunk if he's had major problems and he's trying to forget everything. You, Shlomo, why are you getting drunk? What is the point of that? There is no point to you doing this because there's nothing good that comes from it. Psach pikal ilim. Open your mouth for those that are mute. El din ko b'nei chalof. Your job is to be the mouth for the mute people, for those who can't talk. That's what a king should do. Your job is to judge all those people who have horrible lives. That's what you're there for. You're there for the orphans. You're there for the widows. That's what you're there for. You're not there for yourself. Psach pikal shvat tzedek. Open up your mouth and judge righteously. V'din ani v'avyon. As well as the judgments of all poor and very, very poor people. To that, after she said all that to Shlomo Melech responded with the following line, Eshes Chayil Mimsa, a woman of valor who can find. Her value is more than the ultimate pearls, the ultimate rubies, the greatest out there. Now, some say this refers to looking even at Chava itself. The influence of a woman can destroy or can bring forth life. Chava was the ability to be able to knock down everything that was there in the world. It's possible that Chava could have built up everything. She was the Aim Kol Chai. Even after she sinned, Adam Rishon realized she's the Aim Kol Chai. She's the mother of all living flesh. That a wife has the ability to bring things up. A mother has the ability. A woman has the ability to do unbelievable things over here. Who can find a person who is a true Eishes Chayil when it comes down to it? That's the idea behind it over here. At the very, very end, he says two other pshatim over here. One is referring to Eishes Chayil Yimtza, how awesome is one's soul? That although he's definitely in pshat referring to his mother, right, how awesome is a soul? And others say that Eishes Chayil is referring to the Torah. How can anybody find somebody that's awesome in the Torah itself? Some say the word Chayil is the gematria 48 kinyanim that a person has when it comes to Torah and wisdom. That's what you're able to do. Batach balei bala, her husband trusts her. The shalol lo yechazor, he doesn't lack anything big because he trusts her. When you go home at night, your wife, your mother, a woman puts food on the table, right? Of course, the guy could do that as well, but we're not always as good at it, right? But if a mother puts food on the table or a wife puts food on the table, you trust her that everything's kosher. You trust her that she did everything properly. How do you know? Maybe it's not. So we say eid echonem and bisurin. One eid is believed when it comes to these types of bisurin, especially when it comes to this type of stuff. This is what it's saying, batach balei bala. Her husband trusts her. He trusts her with the house. He trusts her with the kids. He trusts her with making food, with all this type of all these types of things. He trusts her, and he does what he needs to do. That's the pshat. And if you do so, you will never lack anything. You'll be okay. Gamalasu tov, she does good for him, below ra, not evil. Kol yamei chayeha. All the days of her life itself. Even when you're really poor, even when you're really wealthy, the wife should remain the same way. So, Eishes Chayil, right, ends up doing whatever her husband needs her to do at that time. She's willing to do it and she understands it completely. Eliyahu HaNavi said to a certain man that you're going to get 7 years of great wealth. In your lifetime, you're going to have 7 years of absolute great wealth. Would you rather have them now or would you rather have them later in life? When do you want these 7 years of great wealth? Because remember, if you get 7 years of great wealth now and then you lose it later, it might be harder to accept your life of poverty. But if you get the 7 years later, you know, it might be at a time when you won't be able to use them. What do you prefer? He said, I got to talk to my wife. He did. He came back to tell Eliyahu HaNavi. What? Just one. Yeah, he came back, told Eliyahu HaNavi he wants the 7 years right away. He became very wealthy right there at that moment. His wife was an excellent person. She gave away tons of money to the poor, right? She wrote down every single donation that she gave. She wrote down a little checkbook. She got everything down there. When the 7 years came to an end, Eliyahu HaNavi appeared and said, okay, it's time to return the wealth. It's time to be over. So he said, I need my wife's advice. He said, let me go ask my wife. He went to his wife, right? And she said, why don't you show Eliyahu HaNavi what we did with the money? She showed him, right? She showed him the notebook that she took for the last 7 years. They brought it over to Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi is like, you know what? The wealth is better by you than it is by anybody else. Keep the wealth and you can keep it forever. Right? That's good. That's good. So now you know what to answer when Eliyahu HaNavi asks you. You want 7 years. Do it right away and give a lot of tzedakah right there. That's what you end up having over here. When Reb Chiya would see something really nice in the shuk, he would wrap it up in his cloak and he would bring it to his wife. So his son, Reb Chiya's son, looked at him and he's like, but your wife hates you. Your wife does horrible things to you, he said to Reb Chiya. Why would you want to give something to your wife? And he said, okay, but she raises my children. She keeps me from doing terrible things, right? That's already good enough. And that's Gamalasu Tov. She does good, below ra. I don't look at it as evil, right? Even though there are some things, that's that. Dorsha Tzemer Ufishtim. She searches out and looks for wool and linen to find things to make clothing. Vatas Bechefetz Kapel. And she willingly does what she does with her hands to make sure that there is enough to make sure that the welfare of her family is all taken care of, that they have everything that they need right over here. Hoysa koanios socher. She's like a ship filled with merchandise. Mimerchak tavi lachma. She brings food from far, far away. That's what it means. Hoysa koanios socher. Mimerchak tavi lachma. She brings everything from so far away. She is willing to work really hard. What's his name? Off the boss. His name was Rav Yaakov Yosef Herman. Rav Yaakov Yosef Herman had a deal. He ended up fasting every day. It's in the book, All for the Boss. He ended up fasting every single day. He told his wife, he went to a doctor. The doctor said, if you're going to fast every single day, you're going to eat at night. He said, you need a certain amount of food. He wrote down the foods that he needed to eat every day in order for him to remain healthy. He was a big, strong guy, Rav Yaakov Yosef Herman, but he had to do something. One of the things that he needed every single day was a pear. In order to get all the vitamins and minerals he needed a pear every single day. One day, his wife didn't have any pears, and it was wintertime, so there was no way to do it. She had to go far away. It was almost like 8 blocks away, right? And back then, you know, it wasn't the easiest thing to do, especially whatever. But she had to go 8 blocks away in order to get a pear. She walked all the way there, came all the way back, while still making dinner, while doing everything else, in order to make sure her husband had it. Her husband never found out that that's what he did over there. It's kind of cool. It's kind of a crazy little thing. She's willing to go mimerchak tavi lachma. She's willing to bring the bread from far, far away. That's the idea behind it. Okay. Batakam ba'od laila. She's willing to get up in the middle of the night. Batitintera v'vesa. In order to make sure she has food for the household, the choklanaro sale. And her portions that she gives to the young girls and everybody around there. Anybody who knows a good Eishes Chayil, we know that they're willing to do anything for their family. If they need to wake up in the middle of the night and work a second job in order to do so, they'll do it. They'll make sure. They'll do everything that they possibly could do in order to make sure that they have everything that they need. That's in Pasuk Tes Vav. Tes Zayin. Zomama Sodeh. Sodeh V'tikocheyu. She considers a field, and when she realizes that it's worth it, she'll buy it. Mipri kapah natukaram, from the fruit of her hands, she'll be willing to plant a vineyard with it. She not only goes inside the house and takes care of everything that's inside the house, she does everything that's outside the house as well. She plans on doing everything and makes sure that everything is there whenever she needs it. Chagra ba'oz masnah, she girds her loins with strength. But to amates zrosel, it makes her arms strong. And what that means is, all her dealings are upright, straight, honest business. She doesn't hold back on paying back debts. She doesn't wait for Shemitah to knock out the debts completely. She doesn't confiscate people whatsoever. She exerts her arms. If she has to do something else in order to get it, she makes sure that the money is there for the household to continue to remain, even when the husband is unable to do so. She's willing to do that. She'll even make something. She'll make bread at home, sell cakes at home. She'll do anything she can to make sure that stuff is going to work. That's how much they're willing to do. Toama, Kitov Sachra. She's aware, she has a taste that her merchandise is good merchandise, that she knows she's got the right stuff and everything's there. Lo yichba b'layla nera, and therefore, her at night, the candle never goes out. She knows that everything's going to be there. One of the things that it is she'll make sure that if her husband's a Talmud Chacham, there will always be enough oil or candles for the Talmud Chacham to learn at night. They say about Rebel Yashiv's wife that every single night Rebel Yashiv would get up at 2 a.m. in order to go learn. Rebel Yashiv's wife every single night would get up at 2 a.m. to make a coffee for her husband. It might not be a coffee, it might be a tea. I think it's actually a tea itself. But make sure that he has what he needs in order to get something good. And that's the idea behind it. So she says, the merchandise is good because she makes sure that lo yichbe b'layla nera. Yadeh shocha b'kishor, she puts her hand on the kishor. I don't know what the kishor is, but it's some type of like spool, or whatever it is, you know, how you make clothing. The kapah tomchufa, like her palms hold the spindle. She'll always be ready to do something new, right? She doesn't want to waste her time whatsoever. Kapa porcelani, she extends her hands to a poor person via dea shilchala avion. She will even send out her hand to the destitute. She'll make sure that they have it. And some say that's even greater because, look, when you're in shul and you give a guy a dollar, right, something like that, or a check, that's different from giving them food. She'll be willing to give them food and drink and something like that, which is something that they need so much more. She was willing to do that. And that's the porsa. Porsa is a lashon of prusa. She's willing to give a slice of bread and give it to the needy, even though that means that she's not going to have what she needs and sells. She'll send it over to somebody else. Somebody says that the word kapa, instead of kapa meaning her hand, it refers to a spoon. It means the following. There was a sage who was in the habit of using a golden spoon whenever he went to eat dinner. He went to eat dinner, he used a golden spoon. One day, a poor man came to his door asking for a handout. He said, you know what, I want a little bit of food, right? The man's wife had nothing to offer just then. There was nothing to do. She didn't want to send the poor man away with nothing at all. So what did she do? She ended up taking her husband's golden spoon and gave it over to the poor man. When the husband returned home, she told him what happened. She said the following. She said, look, if you're not happy she said, you can take it away from my ksuva, right? From the ksuva that I have, you can take away from there, and if you need, you can divorce me. I'm sorry, but that's what I did. It's not the best thing in the world. The Chacham replied and said, look, you did the right thing. This is amazing, right? And therefore, you said, kappa porsa l'ani. You gave your kaf to the ani, to the poor person itself. Lamed pasuk chaf aleph, guys. Lo siru l'avesa mishalik. She's not afraid of the snow. Kiko besa l'avushan, because she clothed her household in big, warm clothing. She made sure.
Doing davening?
Ishas Chayo?
Yeah.
No.
What?
When do you say Ishas Chayo and davening?
No, this is... Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, so there we go. So Kol Beis Halav Ushanim, so they have everything. This scarlet thread, everybody has exactly what they need. The entire family has everything that they need, right? All the clothing they need. She prepared beforehand. She went throughout the summer. She took care of everything they needed. And at the end, L'sir L'Veis Mishalik, there's nothing to be afraid of. What are you, afraid of snow? Don't worry about it. I got it all taken care of. I fixed the house. I made sure everybody has the clothes that are proper, right? And that's that, right? You don't have to worry about anything. Marvadim Asis Allah. She makes covers for herself, Sheshvar Gam Lavusha, and she'll wear linen and purple. She'll take care of herself. She'll take care of herself. You don't have to get anything. In fact, here's a good idea for anybody who's married. David, Avram, don't buy your wife clothing. That might be the greatest bit of advice that I could ever give you. Not a good idea. Because anything you buy, you're not going to get the right thing. It's not going to be there. I think you're fine. Marvadim Asalam. She makes her own stuff. She needs to buy something, she'll buy it herself. Right? Sheshvar Gam Lavusha. And she'll find what she likes for herself more than anything else. No Dabasharim Bala. Her husband is known throughout the gates. That means among the Talmidei Chachamim that sit at the gates. Bishipto im Zikne Aretz, when he sits with the elders of the land. And the reason why is because she's willing to take care of everything at home to allow her husband to become the great sage that he is. To go to work, to do what he needs to do. She's willing to take care of everything and make sure that he's the one that gets there. In other words, behind every good man is an even better woman. Right? Behind all the avos, there were imahos. If not for Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, and their dedication to what their husbands needed to do, there wouldn't be avos. It's because they were the imahos that allowed the avos to become the avos. Sadin Nasav Atimkor, she makes cloth, she makes sheets, and then she sells it. Bachagor Nasal Kanani, she offers a belt to the people who are trading. She's willing to cover them up and do something for them to be able to help them. Oz Vahadar Lavusha, what she adorns herself with is strength and splendor, dignity, honor. Vatisrak Liom Acharon, and she laughs about the final day, on the day to come, right, in the future. She laughs about all that. It doesn't even matter. I don't care. That doesn't make a difference. I'm living for today. I'm living for what is going on today. I care about everything right over there. She does whatever she needs to do in order to make sure that today is going to be a really, really good thing. And that's what it also means. It's almost like the final day when everything is happy and everything is going well. That's what it is. Pasuk Chav Vav. Pia pascha bechachma. She opens up her mouth, and every time she opens up, it's with wisdom. She only opens up if she has something wise to say, but she doesn't open up her mouth if she doesn't have something wise to say. Vesoras chesed alashona. She has chesed, right? A Torah of chesed, the ability to instruct with wisdom on her tongue, and she says everything properly. She knows what to use and when to say it and how to do it. Sophia halichos besa. She looks forward to the ways of her household and what they do. Lechem atzus lo sochel. She never eats the bread of laziness. Some say that this refers to Rabbi Kiva's wife, Rachel, the daughter of the very wealthy Kalba Sevua. Kalba Sevua obviously had enough money to be able to take care of his daughter and his son-in-law for the rest of their lives. And later on, after Rabbi Kiva became the great sage, that's exactly what he did. He gave them all his money, and they lived very, very wealthily till the end of days. But when she decided to marry Rabbi Akiva, after seeing his greatness that was hidden within this 40-year-old man who had never really, really put himself into learning before, when she was willing to do it and thrown out of Kalba Sevua's house, she told her husband, stop working, I'll take care of it. She sold her hair, her golden hair, which she used in order to, she wanted for herself. She made sure to work. She did everything she could to make sure that the household was going to remain and that Rabbi Akiva could learn. And when she did that, right, even telling him to go study for 12 years straight and then 24 years straight to become the person that he was, you know, Lechem Atzus Lo Sochel. She raised her kids. She raised Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcho, Rabbi Akiva's son from a previous marriage. She raised her own kids. We know about Shimon. We know about I forgot what the daughter's name is. She's mentioned once in Shas. I forgot what her name is. She married Ben Azai and then she got divorced. I forgot what her name is. Either way, but she married her as well. Shulamis, I think it was. Shulamis. And she married her other son, whoever it was. She took care of all of them before Rabbi Akiva even came home. Took care of all of them to make sure that they were going to do everything. And she did it because Sophia Halichos Besa. She wanted to see the ways of her house and the way their house is going to go. She took care of everything when it came down to it. And was never lazy. Never wanted to sit back, relax, and say, I'll take a vacation now. She very easily could have given up, gone back to her father, said, you're right, I made a mistake. And she never did it. Some say that this refers to the wife of Ovadia. The wife of Ovadia always made sure that when Ovadia was giving money to the Nevi'im that he was hiding from the king Yanai, right? From the king at the time. So from King Achav and Izevo, I'm sorry. When he did that, she was taking care of everything, and thus she was zochet to a great miracle, right? The great miracle. Some say that it's the oil that was poured, and that was Ovadia's wife. Some say it was the child that died. Come of an aviashrua, her children will rise up, right? The children of such a woman, and they'll praise her. They'll say she's an unbelievable person. Bala, right? Her husband, by Halalel. Right? He will just sit there and say that there's nobody like her. That's what it means. They'll sit there and praise her. They'll say, the kids are so happy that they were zocha to have such a mom. And the husband is so happy that he was zocha to have such a wife. That's what happens by such a person. That says, come of Yashua. Rabos banu sasochayo. There are many daughters who have done great things. There are tremendous women who have done lots of great things. Ata lisa al kulana. But you've surpassed them all. You've been greater than every single one of them. Some say that this is specifically Sarimenu, Miriam, and Bisya, the daughter of Paro. Some say it means that you are greater than all those three people over there. You are greater than all of those women over there. But some say it refers to them, that the greatness of those three people, Sarah, Bisya, Bas Paro, and Miriam, is so much greater than what everybody else did. I'm sorry?
Where do they get that from?
I would assume that the reason why is because, I'm assuming there's a gematria or something like that in the pasuk itself. But it does make sense, the amount of awesomeness that Miriam, Bisya, and Sarah were able to bring to the world. Sarah Imenu through, obviously, Yitzchak Avinu, raising Yitzchak Avinu and being the wife of Avram Avinu, being Megayer, all the people out there. Bisya, by being a person who saw what was happening in Mitzrayim, and in the Jews' slavery, was willing to come over, married Kalev, and raised Moshe Rabbeinu to the person that he became. That's awesomeness. And Miriam, who was able to follow Moshe Rabbeinu, also married Kalev, not even surprising that they both married Kalev altogether, become the person that she became. I think that's the idea behind it. Of course, there were other great people. There were tremendously great people. We're not forgetting about Devorah and Abigail and Bathsheba, Shlomo Melech's own mother, right? But there was a greatness to these three people that you couldn't find by anybody else. And now we have the famous line, Sheker Achein v'Hevel Ayofi. All favor, grace, charm is deceptive. Hevel Ayofi, beauty, is all vain, right? It's all vain. The one who will truly be praised is a woman who has pure Yiras Hashem, who fears HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than anything else. Right? That's that. You should know, there's a machlokas. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel will argue. Beis Shammai say, when you dance in front of a kala, you're supposed to sing the song, right? Kala Kamos Shehi. Say something about the kala, whatever she is. If she happens to be pretty, you can say she's a pretty lady. If she happens to be ugly, okay, so you say something else. You say like, oh, wow, she really
makes good cookies.
That's a great one, right? You say something else. But Beis Hillel says, no, you always say, every time, Kala Noe v'chasuda. She's a beautiful Kala. She's full of chasid, right? So Beis Shammai looked at Beis Hillel and says, what do you mean? Midvar Sheker Tirchak. Can't tell a lie. How can we sing, okay, it's Amirah, and Lifnei Kala, Kala Noa V'Chasuda, if she's not? Everybody looks and like, Kala Noa V'Chasuda, except for her, right? What are you supposed to do? Don't say it. Just don't say anything else. Say, she's a Kala who has other great qualities of, you know, she knows how to walk, right? That's an tremendous quality. What are you supposed to do? Beis Hillel says, that's okay, right? So Beis Hillel says, right, Beis Hillel says that when it comes to matters of charm and beauty, right, it's permitted to change the praise in order to make shalom between the chassan and the kala. Obviously, the chassan's willing to marry this kala, then he finds her to be a kala noa v'chasuda. And if you're allowed to change things around, you can do that in order for there to be what we call tikkun olam. Not tikkun olam the way the reform movement says it is, but tikkun olam in order to make sure there are good things in this world and things are going to be okay.
But the discussion is moot. What do we have to say anything if the husband is fine with the kala?
Well, you're supposed to make the kala even more beloved to her husband. That's the whole point. You're supposed to make it even more so. So therefore, Ishri Rosh Hashem Yisrael, that's the way you praise it. But either way, Beis Hillel says straight out, you can go ahead and do it, you can go ahead and say that, right? Some say that there's a reference to Rivka, that even though Rivka Imenu was blessed, that she was a tremendously beautiful woman, and so too with Rachel Imenu, she stayed away from every other man, even though she was in a place by Lavan, where all evil people did whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted, nonetheless, they kept themselves and they made sure. Rav Chiya said purposely that a person should try to keep their beauty. Do not let your wife do things that are going to mar her beauty, make herself less beautiful. Do something instead over there. Chazal said this is a reference to certain times. Sheker Achein refers to the wife of Potiphar. She wasn't very beautiful, says the Marsha, but she had a lot of chein. She found favor in the eyes of everyone who saw her. Hevel Ayofi refers to Boaz and Rus. That Boaz stayed away from Rus even though she was extremely beautiful. But Boaz made sure not to be together with her until she was mutter, until she was his wife. Ishri Rosh Hashem Yisrael, the greatest of all, the greatest person of all when it comes to those, refers to Palti ben Laish, who was given Michal, the wife of David HaMelech, as a wife. Shaul HaMelech paskined that David HaMelech wasn't really married to her, took her away and gave her to Palti ben Laish, and Palti ben Laish said, you're not mutter to me. And even though Shaul forced them to be in the same room together, he put a sword in the middle of the bed and he said, anyone who crosses this sword is chayav misa. And he stayed away from her, even though she was an extremely beautiful and filled with chayin person. Ishri Rosh Hashem Yisrael refers to that. Some say it refers to the generations of Klal Yisrael, that there are generations of great people, that there are Sheker Achein, the Hevel Ayopi, some say it refers to the times, but Ishri Rosh Hashem Yisrael are the times of day when there are people that are willing to do crazy things in order to learn Torah. One could say that Sheker Achein refers to the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshua. Hevel Ayopi, the days of David HaMelech and Shlomo. Ishri Rosh Hashem Yisrael is Ikfasid Meshicha, the times of nowadays where people are willing to do the things that we do in order to learn Torah, that we're in a tremendously different state.
Are you allowed to encourage your wife to be, or to make herself more beautiful than she is?
Yeah. One would even call that, one would call that Hidra Mitzvah. It is Sheker, and it is Hevel, but nonetheless it's there. I once heard from a tremendous, a woman who, Mrs. Jaffe, you remember Mrs. Jaffe, one of the best speakers, one of the best people to speak to when it comes to these types of things. I remember I sent her a lady who, this girl was a beautiful girl. She'd gotten married, beautiful girl. And she said she wanted to speak to me, so she called me on the phone. She said she feels bad because she has an amazing sheitel. She just got a sheitel. It was a very wealthy family. And it was one of those $5,000 sheitels. And she was so happy, but she feels conflicted. Her conflict was that she said, I don't know if I should be looking this good. Okay, I know what I look like. I know what I have. So she came to me, and it was an interesting question. And I said, listen, I am not the person to talk to, right? And I don't think even my wife is the right person to talk to. I know somebody that you should talk to. And I called up Mrs. Jaffe, and Mrs. Jaffe went ahead and told her. He said, what you're doing is Hidur Mitzvah. It's funny. I didn't tell her what it was. I just said that she's had an issue. They met at Starbucks. The first thing Mrs. Jaffe said is, that's the most beautiful sheitel I've ever seen. The girl starts bawling. Starts crying in the middle of Starbucks. She's like, that's exactly my problem. I know, but I don't think I'm supposed to do this. I don't think I'm supposed to make people's heads turn toward me, and I don't want to. But my husband likes that I have this sheitel, and he finds me attractive. What am I supposed to do? She told her, it's Hidur Mitzvah, to make yourself look that beautiful for your husband. So, okay, if you're not going to be seen by your husband all day, right, then it's probably not a good idea to dress up like a queen. Right? But if your husband's going to see you, then you should be dressed up in a way that your husband's going to find you attractive. That was the way that she told over there, and that's part of what it means to be tzinua. There's a lot more to talk about with this, but no, that doesn't mean Sheker Achein Gavel Yofi that you should make yourself look ugly.
No,
that's not
that you should make yourself ugly.
It's that just, no, you know Sheker Achein Gavel Yofi, but if you're doing it for the right reasons, Yiras Hashem Hisasal. That's the idea behind it. If it's done for the right reasons, then it's the greatest thing in the world. Tnu la mi priya deha. Give her, praise her, for the priyadah, for the fruit of her labor. Look at what comes from her. Look at the children that she has. Look at what she's done with her life. Look at the things that came from her handiwork. And when you see that, give her, you see her, and you praise her for the things that she's done, V'halulu av asharim asel. Then everybody will praise her in the gates. Everybody will see, even the Talmid Chachamim will praise her for things that she's done. And that's what he means by the sharim asel. And that's that. Even Rabbi Akiva will be able to say about his wife Rachel, right? What's mine and what's yours is all hers, right? It's all based on what she did over there. And that's the idea behind it. The proper relationship is when a husband respects his wife so to the point where everyone is able to say such a thing. Everyone is able to talk about her in such a way where they feel like everybody, she is the greatest of all time. That's the idea behind it. We already said that there are other ways of understanding Eishes Chayil over here. Some say it refers to the Torah itself, and all of it is a praise of how to learn Torah. Some say it's a reference to how to be able to refer to the soul, the neshama itself. But in Pashup Shat, this is referring to a woman, and a woman of valor, a person who's a tremendous tzedekes and a great wife, what she does in this world in order to gain her olam haba. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a great Shabbos. And hey,
Eddie, we did it.
Eddie, that's pretty good.
Hi, Eddie.
Pretty impressive, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, well, we're done. That's awesome. Shkai Chari, we'll see you soon. Start again next week. Okay, that's it. Mazel Tov. We just finished Tanakh for the second time. Look at that. This is awesome. When are we going to Shalit?
Call your grandmother.
Call my grandmother. Oh, in Israel?
Not now. Not now. She's sleeping.
I'm gonna send her an email. She still reads email.
Let her ship some nachas.
I don't have hers. Why don't I have hers? Pearl? Pearl.
Send her a text message.
I can't send her a text message.
Hey, you're going to be around the third time around? Come on.
Third time